Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? You will find our text this morning in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For our light affliction. So here we have the Apostle Paul writing this third letter to the church at Corinth. We know that there was a second letter he makes reference to in this second epistle, what is known as the severe letter. And in the wisdom of God, that letter has been lost. So this was his third letter to the church at Corinth. The apostle had had many dealings with the church at Corinth. He had a great concern for their spiritual welfare. We can see that from some of the issues that he dealt with. Some of the trials and difficulties that were there in the church in Corinth. He did not skip over them. He did not make light of them, especially as we read in 1 Corinthians, that epistle. He met these issues head on. Because he saw that sin, if it is left dormant in the life of the believer, if it is not dealt with, it will cause spiritual decay. And it will cause the spiritual life of the Christian to wither. And they will be a shell of what they once were. So he dealt openly and honestly with the problems and the sins that were in the church. But here in 2 Corinthians, the epistle is of a different nature. He is writing here, exhorting them, encouraging them, that they would put their trust in the Lord. And here he tackles this issue of Christian affliction. And he deals with it in four ways in our text. These are the four things I want to look at this morning. First of all, he brings before them the fact that Christians are afflicted in this world. And then secondly, he mentions to them the measure of their affliction. And then thirdly, he reminds them the duration of their affliction. And then fourthly, the purpose of their affliction. And these are the four things I want to look at this morning. But notice how he sets Christian affliction in its right context, with a proper background, if you like. And we have this background here in verses 14 and 15. Christian affliction is to be viewed in the light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says there, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, he raised him up. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful reality for the Christian today. Their Savior is raised. They do not worship a Savior who's in the grave. He says, he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Yes, he's dealing with Christian affliction, but he's saying This is the background. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a triumphant work this is. Raised from the dead. That great signal event that was there, the Father putting his seal on the finished work of Christ. We know that we read in the epistles that he was raised for our justification. And it is against that background that the apostle moves on to deal with this subject of Christian affliction. First of all, then, let us notice that Christian affliction is a fact for the believer. He says, for our light affliction. He doesn't say, for your light affliction. You see, he's making the fact here that it is inclusive for all Christians. That in this world, they will suffer afflictions. Yes, afflictions that will come from the hand of their Heavenly Father. Isn't this the truth, friend? Afflictions are not something that happen to the Christian in a random sort of way. They are trials and difficulties that are sent from heaven. They are trials and difficulties that are given from the Heavenly Father. And the apostle is here reminding them that they are all in the same situation. Now, this is something that the flesh recoils from. By nature, we will seek an easy life. And this is what I mean. The flesh recoils from these afflictions. By nature, we try and avoid afflictions as much as we possibly can. But also it is something that the world rejects. Ungodly men and women, they see Christian affliction in a totally different light from the believer. The believer sees it as a fact of life. But you see, the world sees it as a judgment and as a punishment from the Lord. And worldly men and women are not slow to cast this in the face of the Christian. Where is your God? If there's a God in heaven, why are these things happening to you? Isn't this what we find in the book of Job? Job's miserable counselors, his so-called friends, they came to him and they said, there's some sin in your life. That's why you're suffering this affliction. Friend, that is the spirit of the world. That is not the doctrines of Scripture. Afflictions are sent from the Heavenly Father. And although the flesh recoils from them, they are not a sign that the Christian is a reprobate. They are in fact the opposite. And you see, there is great encouragement for the afflicted Christian today. The encouragement is this, friend, this is the way of the Lord. Now, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know the burdens and the afflictions in your life. But I know this, that if you're a Christian, this is something that is not abnormal. It is something that is very scriptural and very normal for the Christian to suffer affliction in the world. So he is here setting before them the fact. He says, our light affliction. He's saying to them, I am suffering as you are suffering. What does he mean? What are we talking about when we talk about Christian afflictions? Now, I know there is much debate about these kind of things. But I just want to mention one or two areas where the Christian can suffer affliction from the Lord, something that is given to them. There is first of all the area of physical weakness. Now, the world has an idea about physical weakness. And their idea is that it is the old and those who are advanced in years who will be sick. Isn't that the case, friend? Isn't it a case of when you hear somebody young, you say, what's so surprising for somebody young? Somebody so young to have these afflictions. But why is it surprising? Is it because we are receiving the doctrines of the world rather than receiving the teaching of Scripture? The Lord often sends physical afflictions to the life of His believers, whether they are young or old. And they are part of Christian affliction. Medical conditions, maybe things that you have to learn to live with. Things for which there is no cure. So let us not think in the way of the world. But let us recognize that the Lord is sovereign over these areas. And whether we're young or old, the Lord sometimes will afflict His people with physical affliction. But there's also other areas. Sometimes the affliction comes in an emotional way. It comes in the sense of burdens and cares, problems within families. You know, sometimes Christians are embarrassed about their families, as if their families were somehow not normal, because there are trials and difficulties and problems. And again, this is a false idea we have, that all Christian families will be run of the mill and all will go well and there will be no problems. And often Christian parents are perplexed when there are great emotional burdens that come through difficulties within the family. Ah, but friend, these are the trials and the tribulations and the afflictions that the Lord, in His sovereignty, often brings into the life of His people. We shouldn't think these things are somehow strange for the Christian. They are commonplace. Many of the Lord's people this morning are heavily burdened through the trials within their own families. This is not what we see in Scripture. Look at Job. Is he not a scriptural example of this even? Here's a righteous man whom Scripture records that the Lord said to Satan. Job didn't say it about himself. My servant Job, a man who escheweth evil. And what do we find his family doing? Partying. Up to all sorts. We read in the book of Job there how Job, as a righteous man, was found offering sacrifice for them, lest his family had sinned in their careless behavior. You see, Scripture teaches us these things. Job himself, as I've already mentioned, was someone who experienced great affliction. Great affliction, and yet we find at the end of the book of Job the great reason why. He says, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Christian affliction is a fact for the believer. Friend, do we not see, in a sense, that the Christians are following in the footsteps of their Master? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, he was afflicted. He was afflicted. Think of the temptation that was set before him to avoid hardship. We see the temptation at the beginning of his public ministry in Matthew chapter 4. That first temptation, Satan comes. If you are the Son of God, relieve your hunger. Avoid that suffering. Take it easy. And we see the same at the end, on the cross even. The cry of the ungodly. Was it not a temptation? Come down from the cross. We'll believe. The Master, he has suffered in this world. And he teaches us in Scripture that the servants, they are not greater than the Master. It is enough for the servants to be as their Master. We read in the Old Testament as well that great prophecy of Isaiah. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Why then does the Christian expect to avoid trials and afflictions in this world? Ah, the Master was afflicted. Ah, but you say, oh, he was afflicted for a purpose. Well, friend, we shall come to that in a moment, the great purpose of our afflictions. But I'm trying to set before you is this great scriptural truth that Christians are afflicted in the world. And they will suffer affliction. And they will suffer trials. And it is there recorded in Scripture for your encouragement this morning. Your experience is not abnormal. That's what the enemy of your soul wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that there's something not right. Friend, Christian affliction is something that is a fact for the child of God. But secondly, the apostle moves on and he mentions the measure of this affliction. He calls it our light affliction. Our light affliction. Now, if we are honest, this is not our experience, is it? Our flesh is very quick to say, poor me, poor me. Why do I have to have this? Why do things have to be so difficult? Ah, this is the flesh speaking. Light affliction. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, oh, minister, if you knew the burdens I had, you wouldn't call them light. Well, friend, it's not me that's calling them light. This is Scripture. This is what Scripture says about our afflictions. That they are light. Are they not light in comparison to the glory that is to come? Isn't this what we find in the Epistle to the Romans? The Apostle there says in chapter 8, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that is yet to be." Oh, the glory that is yet to be. When you imagine, when we think of the glory of being with Christ for all eternity, can you not see your afflictions as light in comparison to these things? It's hard to imagine, isn't it, sometimes when we think of glory. What will it be like to be with Christ? Well, think of it like this. It will be satisfaction for you. And that is something that is characteristic of the Lord's people in this world. They are not satisfied. They're never satisfied with their own spiritual growth. They're never satisfied with their own hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're not satisfied with the things of the world. But oh, friend in glory, to be in the near presence of Christ, then we shall be satisfied. This is what we read of in the Psalms, isn't it? I shall be satisfied when I appear in thy likeness. Satisfaction. Oh, to the glory to come, friend. If we see our afflictions in the light of these things, are we not able to say, oh, they are light. Our light afflictions. But then, when we consider what some other people have, are we not able to say our afflictions are light? May we meet some Christians. We meet many Christians. And when you meet them, first of all, maybe you don't know much about them. But when you sit down and you speak to them, and over a period of time, to tell you some of the things that are in their life, do you not wonder? Do you not say to yourself, oh, are these Christians not an example of the grace of God that they're able to bear these afflictions? And do you not stop and say to yourself, friend, oh, my afflictions are light compared to them? Our light affliction. The measure of Christian affliction, it is light. But then it is also light, surely, when we consider how Christ was afflicted. Surely when we consider how Christ was afflicted, we will have to say, oh, our afflictions are light. We must try and view our afflictions in the light of what Christ suffered. Now I know it's hard, and it's very difficult for us to enter in any real sense, into the sufferings of Christ. But is it not the case that sometimes Scripture comes home to you with a greater force? And when you read of the sufferings of Christ, sometimes it's hard to imagine how he suffered and how he did it willingly in the room instead of his people, and how we are by nature and by practice, and many times we are the opposite. We are unwilling to suffer. Oh, our light affliction. But friend, let me say this to you. Scripture records that our afflictions are light. But let us remember that we are flesh. And our afflictions are light, but they are not easy. And oh, how we need grace every day. How we need a fresh batch of grace, if you like, from the Lord every day. And how we need to be going to him every day, praying for grace to be upheld under the burdens that we carry. We're not to be expecting that the grace that we receive today will be sufficient for tomorrow. We have this picture in the manna, the provision of the manna. It was fresh every day. And so it must be for the Christian. Maybe you're struggling this morning and you're saying, oh, minister, my afflictions aren't light. Ah, well, friend, go to Jesus Christ. Seek grace from him. To have this view of your afflictions, seek grace that you will be able to be conformed to the authority of Scripture, and you will be able to say, yes, my afflictions are light. But then thirdly, we notice their duration. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. But for a moment. Friend, we have here a reminder to us of our own mortality. Are you thinking upon that this morning? There is a day when we will all be together again. And it will be the day of judgment, when we'll all be assembled like this together. Not to hear a sermon, but to face the Lord on the day of judgment. And we have here in this, which is but for a moment, a reminder to us of our mortality. Let me ask you, friend, in the passing, are you ready to die? Are you in Christ? Are you trusting in him alone? Well, if you're not, then you have every right to fear the coming of death. And here we have this reminder of this momentary life that we are living. Our lives are but a vapor. And it does not matter how long we live in this world. One of the things that is characteristic of older Christians. You know, it's wonderful to go and speak to older Christians. They are a great example to us of the grace of God, that they are kept through many years, and even into their old age, they're still going strong. But one of the things they will say to you is this: oh, I can remember, and it seems like it was yesterday. Their life seems but a moment. A reminder here of our mortality. And the apostle is here reminding us that these afflictions are for this life only. Now, whether that is 70, 80, 90 years, whether it is more, whether it is less, they will come to an end. The afflictions and cares that you are carrying this morning, they will come to the end. They are but for a moment. Ah, but for those who are outside of Christ, the moment you pass from this life, that's when your affliction will really begin. In a lost eternity, oh friend, flee to Jesus Christ. Take Him for yourself. Why will you perish? But for the Christian, their afflictions are but for a moment. Yes, they might be there every morning you wake up. And they might be with you through all your waking hours. They might even be disturbing your sleep. But there's a day coming, friend, and let me tell you, it's a lot sooner than we think, when we shall put off these things. For our afflictions are but for a moment. Oh, what a great encouragement. The burdens you carry this morning, you will leave them behind at the point of death. And you will exchange them for the glory of being with Christ. But then fourthly, the great purpose of Christian affliction. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Christian affliction is not pointless. It's not pointless. But this is what we imagine in our flesh. Maybe we complain to one another and we say, I can't see the point of this. It's doing me no good. Why do I have to put up with this? Again, this is the flesh talking. Because Scripture says afflictions are not pointless. They are working for you. On all your trials and afflictions this morning, they are working for you. This is what He says. Worketh for us. They're not working for somebody else. That's why, friend, each one of us must have our own burdens and cares. And the Christian afflictions that suit someone else, they will not suit you. Because these things have been given to you by your Heavenly Father. He knows that they are working in you. They are working for you. They are fitting you for glory. It's wonderful words he uses here. Worketh for us a far more exceeding. It's almost like he's struggling to find words to describe the brilliance that this work is going to achieve in the life of the believer. An eternal weight of glory. We see this in the temple, don't we? At the building of the temple in the Old Testament, the instructions were given that the stones for the temple had to be fitted in the quarry, because there was to be no sound of the hammer in the temple. And these stones had to be made perfect. The corners had to be taken off. Any impurities would have to be broken off, but it was in the quarry where the sound of the hammer was loud, and where the dust of the breaking off of the bits of stone. And when you went to the temple, these stones fitted into place. So it is in this world. These afflictions are like the hammer. Sometimes they make an awful noise. Sometimes we feel these afflictions come with awful ferocity. But it's required to knock these things off us, to fit us for this eternal weight of glory. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How are these things practically seen and experienced in the life of the Christian? This work that is going on, this work of sanctification, how are they experienced? Well, I'm going to give you some marks this morning. Some things that are achieved through Christian affliction. The first is this: Christian affliction will loosen your grip on the things of this world. And oh, how we need that. Yes, we are to live in the world, but we're not to live off the world. And often the Lord will use afflictions, and they loosen. They have this great work. They make the grip that the Christian has on the things of the world, it loosens it. Is that true of you this morning? Are these afflictions and trials that you are carrying, are they loosening your grip of this world? Are your desires shifting? Or maybe there was a day in your life when you were so caught up in this world, so content with the things of the world. But now there is a loosening in these things. They don't hold the sway over you that they once did. It's this work, friend. These afflictions are working for you. They are loosening your grip. But they do something else as well. There's not only the loosening of the grip on the world. There is a tightening of the grip on Jesus Christ. Oh, the hand that is loosening its grip on the world. It's gripping with the other hand, the hand of Christ, even tighter. The desires are for Him. The desires are to be with Him. The desires are to follow Him more faithfully, with a greater urgency for His glory in this world. Yes, there is this work that is going on, loosening the grip of the world and tightening their grip on Christ. They see Christ as so much more precious. And oh, they chide themselves of how cold they were to Jesus Christ in the past. And they lament and they mourn over their coldness towards Christ. And it is a sign of these afflictions working for us. Oh, there's great encouragement here, friend, if we will but take it. There's great encouragement in Scripture if we will but receive it for ourselves. The fact of Christian affliction. Friend, you're not alone. Christians are afflicted in this world, and they are afflicted from the hand of their Heavenly Father. But let us remember that these things are light in comparison to the glory that is yet to be. Let us remember that they are but for a moment. For this life only. And let us remember that they are working for us. Working for that exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, how wise is our Father in heaven. How glorious is Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is His word. What encouragement here. That this is Christian experience. And this is Christian experience in the midst of affliction. Well, may the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee that it is Thy word. It is not the word of man. How often the word of man is so empty in times of distress and times of difficulty. And how often we feel, Lord, that nobody really understands the situations we are in. But we thank Thee that we have a great High Priest who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And oh, what a wonder it is to us, the goodness and the grace of God towards us in Christ. Help us then, Lord, to look to Him. Help us to live our lives in the light of Thine eternal truth, and not to be living according to our own thoughts. We pray that Thou wilt encourage any of Thy dear people here today who are passing through great trials and great burdens. Lord, may they know Thy grace sufficient for them. May they know Thy help in their time of need. And may they be given encouragement to persevere to the glory of Christ. Sanctify Thy word to us this day. Pardon all our sins for Christ's sake. Amen.